This is going to be a computational geometric view of data mining. Can everybody hear me in the back? Great. So in 1980, I proposed a proximity graph, which is the topic of my talk, for a completely different purpose than data mining. It was for perception, for capturing the structure that a human being sees in a dot pattern. So here's a fairly difficult pattern, and maybe it's connect the dots for adults where you don't have numbers. So how would you connect those points into a reasonable pattern? Well, this graph that I call the relative neighborhood graph would give you this thing here, which maybe you see it's pretty good. Okay. Well, proximity graphs were used for perception for quite a while before that. Charles Zahn at the Stanford Linear Accelerator Center used minimum spanning trees for certain physics applications. But this graph, the relative neighbor graph, is much more flexible than a spanning tree, because of course a spanning tree sees the whole world just as a spanning tree. On the other hand, here's an example of two very different relative neighborhood graphs. They're the same graph. So you can see that for the dot pattern at the top, it sees that pattern, and for this symmetrical, it sees a much denser pattern. So it turns out that this relative neighborhood graph is intelligent. It listens to the data. If it sees a tree as an underlying structure, it says it's a tree. If it sees a triangulation, it says it's a triangulation. And well, this turns out to be the minimum spanning tree of the data, and this is the famous Delaunay triangulation. So you can see that this graph is sometimes behaves as one, sometimes behaves as the other, and often behaves in between. So let me say a couple more words about proximity graphs, the ones that I'm going to talk about. The kind of birth of all these graphs is the Voronoi diagram, which hopefully everybody here knows. This is the partition of space in general D dimensions, but I'll just illustrate in two. Partition of space into regions which are closer to a data point than to any other data point. And if you connect every pair of points that are Voronoi neighbors, in other words, they're Voronoi cells, they share a boundary, then you get this graph here, which is the Delaunay triangulation that I mentioned previously. So this is kind of the densest proximity graph that I'll be talking about. And you can define a whole sequence of nested proximity graphs. There's an infinite number of them. I'll just mention a few of the most famous ones, and in particular, the two that seem to be magical for data mining applications. So everybody knows this proximity graph here. That's the nearest neighbor graph. You just join every point to its nearest neighbor. Well, the next one up is the minimum spanning tree. It has a few more. Next one after that is the relative neighborhood graph, which we've already seen. After that, it's something called the Gabriel graph. And finally, that's a subgraph of the Delaunay triangulation. Okay. So we'll see that these two, the Gabriel graph and the relative neighbor graph, play a very important role. And what's the difference? I haven't defined yet to you what the relative neighborhood graph is. So let me give you one definition. Here's one way of looking at the relative neighborhood graph. We join two points with an edge in the graph if this region, which is called the loon, is empty. And this region is just the intersection of the two balls centered at A and B with the radius equal to the distance between A and B. So you see why this is relative, because points could be far apart geometrically, but they would be neighbors because their common region of interest is empty. And the Gabriel graph is defined similarly, but the region is a disk rather than a loon. So here we would make A prime and B prime, join them with an edge. If the smallest ball that contains A prime and B prime doesn't contain any other points. So here, because there is this point here, these would not be Gabriel neighbors. On the other hand, these would be Gabriel neighbors. So those are the definitions of the graph. So that's the quick tutorial on geometric proximity graphs. Okay, so how are we going to use these for data mining? Well, I propose to use these and improve the classical methods that are based on nearest neighbors. So, as you know, many problems in data mining use nearest neighbors, the k-nearest neighbors. Here are some examples. Classify an item X according to the labels associated with the k-nearest neighbors of X. Selecting good representatives. Good depends on your application. In pattern classification, good might be those that represent well the decision boundary, or maybe those that are good representatives of the collection, like in cluster analysis. And I've seen several papers that in fact also use k-nearest neighbor definitions of outliers. For example, select an item X as an outlier of the data if the average distance between X and its k-nearest neighbors in D is a maximum. Okay, so everybody knows the nearest neighbor rule, decision rule. I'm going to concentrate just on decision rules because there's some nice problems there. And everybody knows the nearest neighbor decision rule. If you have a set of data belonging to different classes, say two in this case, and a new point comes along X, you find its nearest neighbor. You find the nearest neighbor is blue, so you classify X as blue. Okay. Now that seems like such a beautiful rule. And a lot of things are known about it. Again, you surely know about all this history, initially conceived by Fix and Hodges. Cover and Hart really were responsible for making the world know about this rule. And they showed that surprisingly, it works very good, considering you're ignoring the rest of the data, just looking at one. They showed that one data point has in fact at least 50% of all the discrimination information contained in the entire data set. So the error probability of the nearest neighbor rule asymptotically is never more than twice the Bayes error. And so why has this rule been resisted for so long in the history, although things are finally coming around? Well, mainly they've criticized it based on several things. One that you still see a lot is, well, all the data must be stored. That's not true, it turns out. Two, distances between the unknown X and all the training data must be computed to classify X. That's not known. In fact, that's not true. In fact, Jerome Friedman 30 years ago gave an algorithm for finding nearest neighbors extremely fast without looking at all the data. And there's a third one that comes along now that says, well, these are inherently sequential. We really want fast parallel neural networks, and these are not well suited to that. So I hope to convince you that, in fact, nearest neighbor rules are the best way to implement neural networks. Okay, well, so you might say, you know, we're never happy. We're not happy with error rate less than twice the Bayes, so therefore I'm not going to use the nearest neighbor rule. I'm going to use my favorite neural network. But then, of course, you know that here comes the k-nearest neighbor rule, where now you find the k-nearest neighbors and you make a majority vote. So in this case, if k is 5, the 5 nearest neighbors, 3 are red, 2 are blue, so you classify X as red. And now, of course, what's nice about the k-nearest neighbor rule is that it's asymptotically Bayes optimal. So the error probability with suitable conditions like n approaching infinity, k approaching infinity, k over n approaching zero, the error rate approaches the Bayes error rate. Of course, in practice, things are finite, n and k are finite, and that's been the area of research for countless papers since 1967. And here are all the questions that are usually, or most of the questions that are usually considered. So how can the storage of the training set be reduced? How should we select these representatives for each class? How k has always been a problem. How large should k be? Should all k neighbors be weighted equally? All these kinds of discussions. A question of scaling, the different coordinates, et cetera, et cetera. And I hope I can give you a flavor that all these problems can be very elegantly solved with a proximity graph. So first of all, I should mention that back in 1968, Peter Hart proposed a method for reducing the training set, but it wasn't very satisfactory. You don't have to read this, but basically the idea of this heuristic was that you should keep points that are close to the decision boundary. So this was an algorithm that iteratively, sequentially, looked at the data, part of the data, classified parts that it hadn't seen, and if it classified incorrectly, it kept them. And whenever it classified something correctly, it discarded it. So that's the theory, the heuristic, is, well, if I keep the ones that are classified incorrectly, I'm keeping the ones that are close to the decision boundary. So that was the idea. And I guess a cute thing was that the resulting classifier gets zero error on the entire data set, but that really doesn't matter, right? Because we're interested in prediction. But somehow that seemed to be attractive to people. In a completely different approach, where you're not trying to throw away a lot of data, but really do better. Let me mention another ancient result that can come to the rescue for neural networks and proximity graphs. So here's just a cute little thought example. If we had the data that came from Gaussian distributions distributed this way, where we know everything, we know what the optimal decision bounder is, it would be this green line here. But if instead we use a nearest neighbor classifier on this data, we get this decision boundary here, the solid red one, which is a subset of the Voronoi diagram. Now, the algorithm of Peter Hart that I showed you previously, and scores of algorithms that followed along those lines, initially the problem was that they for some reason thought that the decision boundary of the nearest neighbor rule was mysterious, and people hadn't yet discovered Voronoi diagrams, even though they're 100 years old, and so there were these heuristics at basically trying to do that. But now we know exactly what's going on. We have we understand the structure of nearest neighbor rules, we understand Voronoi diagrams, and so we can see what's happening. And of course, so you can see what the problem is. This rule with the nearest neighbor rule is not smooth enough. And so people have proposed things like, well, if you notice in this example, if I were to classify points based on k nearest neighbor rules, and you would see that, okay, well, I've got this thing and it's on the wrong side. If I were to change it, if I were to classify it blue because all its neighbors are blue, then I would have a much smoother decision boundary. Okay. So some people propose things like that. Others propose, well, why don't we throw them away? All kinds of similar techniques. So what I'm getting at is this important result, which people seem to have forgotten, and I would like to revive it. 1972 thesis of Dennis Wilson at Stanford. So he proposed exactly this kind of smoothing technique. So now the idea is completely opposite to Hartz. Hartz was trying to keep the points around the decision boundary and throwing away the ones that are far away. This is just exactly the opposite. There's a pre-processing phase, find the k nearest neighbors, classify it to the class associated with largest, the standard thing, and finally the edit, the crucial part. This is delete all the elements misclassified. So here we're throwing away the ones that were misclassified. In other words, we're throwing away the ones around the decision boundary, and that creates the smoothing. But the most important thing that I want to say about this rule is that he showed that if I do this pre-processing, and then I use the one nearest neighbor rule on the remaining thing, then the error rate of this rule is Bayes optimal, asymptotically. So this is a way of making the one nearest neighbor rule simulate the k nearest neighbor rule. And that'll be important because for neural networks, finding the k nearest neighbors is complicated. People have complicated four-layer networks. And when you realize this, that you can implement the k nearest neighbor rule with a one nearest neighbor neural network, then the neural network becomes very simple. Let me point out another thing that's been around a while, but also seems to have been forgotten in several literatures that I perused, and that is the following. This is getting back to the original criticism that to implement the nearest neighbor rule, you must store all the data. So that's completely false, and now with Voronoi diagrams, we can understand exactly what's happening and exactly which ones need to be kept and which ones are completely redundant. So it turns out that you can throw a large fraction of your data away and use the nearest neighbor rule on the remaining set, and it will be exactly the same one nearest neighbor rule as if you were using the entire data set. So any properties that you've proved for the original one still hold. You don't sacrifice those. And the idea is the following. So here's again a two-dimensional example. Here you can see that all these points that are circled with a black circle have all their Voronoi neighbors belonging to the same class. And same here. These all belong to the same class. So this data reduction scheme throws away in parallel all those points that have all their Voronoi neighbors belonging to the same class, and only keeps the remainder ones. So in this case, you would throw away all these, and the resulting nearest neighbor rule would be this one, which of course has exactly the same decision boundary. So that's an example. So there's another way in which you can actually greatly reduce, for example, the number of neurons in your neural network by doing such a pre-processing without sacrificing any of your asymptotic properties. Let me just briefly mention one of the most recent approaches, which is actually computing the nearest neighbor boundary. But this is a very difficult problem, I mean, to compute it really efficiently. And so far, we've only been able to do it for two dimensions, really. So here we're computing this nearest neighbor boundary, and we compute it in order n log k, where k is actually the size of the nearest neighbor decision boundary. Or if you like, k is the number of points in your data that contribute to the decision boundary. But for high dimensions, this is still is a tough open problem. Okay. So so equivalent to what I've just said, you can make the following equivalent statement in the dual, right? So the dual of the Voronoi diagram is this Delaunay triangulation. That's our proximity graph. And so the nodes of the graph are the data points with their labels, and the edges are there if they're Voronoi neighbors. So we can state now the data reduction algorithm as follows. You can say, well, in parallel, delete any data point if all its Delaunay neighbors belong to the same class. Now, in practice, maybe you want to delete even more points. And so there are many papers on how to delete more points, and a lot of them are kind of ad hoc. But this graph, and especially the hierarchy that I've shown you before, suggests that if you want to gracefully, if you want to still throw away more data, but gracefully, so that you, as much as possible, still have the nice properties, good performance, and so on, you could do the same thing, but on sparser and sparser subgraphs of this triangulation, like the Gabriel graph or the relative neighborhood graph. Because obviously, if you have a sparser graph, the probability that all your neighbors are going to belong to the same class will be higher, and so the probability that you will discard them will be higher, so you will keep fewer points. That's the idea. And so people have done a lot of experiments. I don't have time to go into them in different places around the world over the last 10, 15 years, comparing these different graphs for that. And they found out that the Gabriel graph and the relative neighbor graph that I mentioned before are the best ones for doing this kind of thing. I want to leave some time for questions, so I don't want to take much longer. Let me just mention that another very different approach to using proximity graphs, and that has to do with proximity graph decision rules. I mentioned previously that there are all these problems about how you choose k nearest neighborhood. That's a really big problem. I think proximity graphs solve this perfectly and very naturally. The idea is as follows. So you classify an unknown pair of Z to the class associated with the largest number of points among the proximity graph neighbors of Z in X. So instead of having to worry about what K is, you compute your magic proximity graph, which will be the relative neighbor graph or the Gabriel graph or something in between, one of those, and you just look at the neighbors, and you make a majority vote among the neighbors. And so that automatically takes care of local density of points, automatically takes care of geometry and directionality, and you don't have to worry about what k is. It keeps changing all the time locally in the space. And somehow, the Gabriel graph, the thing with the sphere, seems to be the champion for some reason. Seems to work very well. There are some theoretical results along these lines too, but I'll stop here so that there's some time for questions.